Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 50. On today's show, Cass has ruled that Kaizer Chiefs have been bad, bad boys despite their appeal to the contrary. Also on the show, does Kune still have what it takes, and will Kaizer Chiefs be patient with Gavin Hunt? Whether you're listening to us on Soccer Laduma, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or My Gang's 96.7 FM's Game Time, welcome to the show. Usually at this point, I'd say that I'm not alone, but today I really, really am, in the studio at least, as all our guests will be joining via the power of the internet.
Yes.
I've heard that his jokes are so bad that this week he has to tell them from 400 kilometers away. It's Sean Roberts. How are you doing, yes, sir?
Thank you, Simon. Fresh, fresh, brother.
How's the garden route treating you?
Ah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I love it out here.
It's the best. It is. And joining him in the hot seat is the master of style, Mr. Swag himself. Teko Madise, how are you doing?
Good and you, sir.
Excellent, excellent.
Hello.
Well, I believe it's time for us to brace ourselves. Sean Roberts, have you got the joke of the day for us?
The joke of the day, right. Why don't crabs donate to charity? Because they are shellfish.
It must be because I'm a dad that I find that funny.
That is hilarious. Tickle, what do you think?
Sean.
It's a white man's joke, bro. Anyway. Jeez. Deco, Sundance Chiefs. Sundance Chiefs. What can we say, bro?
What's your thought on it?
I think Sundance made very good use of their new signings. I think Kermit's finish was world class. I think it was a very convincing performance from Sundance, even though there's a lot of what's improvement to be done on their side. Chiefs did have their opportunities, I think. I think Billiard should have scored at least one. But positives on that, he's getting into those positions. He's getting a lot more freedom. But again, it's the Kaizer Chiefs defense that's letting them down, which I think Gavin actually said after the game as well. But yeah, good to see Maluleke come on and make a difference, getting that penalty. We'll talk about Kune afterwards, but I think he had a bit of a rough day at the office, to be honest. Yeah, a fair result at the end of the day. And look, it could have been, I think Sundance were the better team, but it could have been 3-1, 3-2. I think Chiefs, and if Karma took one or two of those chances, it could have been a whole different ball game. But at the end of the day, a fair result. What do you think?
I was very impressed with how Mamelodi Sundance approached the game.
Yeah.
Looking at the new players that they have and with the limited time they had with probably maybe trying to make sure that these guys fit into the system and understand what Mamelodi Sundance is about. But they look very, very dangerous.
They did.
Yeah, and it didn't help as well with Kaizer Chiefs' defense.
Mm-hmm.
And Kaizer Chiefs just relaxed or letting Mamelodi Sundance do whatever they want to do.
Mm.
I think when playing against a team like Mamelodi Sundowns that are good in possession of the ball, you need to decide whether you want to press them high and make sure that they don't get into those dangerous areas, or if you sit as a low block defending, you need to be wary of what you're going to do when you have the ball, how are you going to use it. And I think Kama had a couple of chances, like you said, and Dennis Onyango had great saves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest problem on that game because Chiefs was their defense.
Yeah, as always, we keep on saying it.
Yeah, and sometimes I would say we all say like the defenders, but sometimes it all also depends on how the whole team defends structurally.
Sure.
Because I think if the midfielders all were compact enough, they wouldn't allow your Themba Zwanes to have those space in the midfield. They wouldn't allow your Josh Maluleke to make those run behind the defense. So I think there's a collective mistakes within the team itself. But Sundowns showed up and had a great performance. And if Shalulile and Kemet continue the way they are, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah, or not for Sundowns, but for every other team playing against them. You know what I mean?
I mean, you
think about it. They've had 10 days, 14 days together in the training pitch, and they're synchronizing like that already. It's frightening.
Yeah, and on that, you must understand, Shalulile hasn't found his form yet.
Sure.
They haven't understood how Shalulile plays. So with Kemet, it's easier because he plays in between the spaces. That's what Mamelodi Sundowns does. But Shalulile is the guy that goes beyond, over the top. He can press. He can score with the headers. He can shoot. He can score any goal. So now, imagine if they understand Shalulile is quickly, or Shalulile gets into that form. But yet again, he scored, so maybe his confidence will be up. And then it's gonna be very interesting to see how Mamelodi Sundowns will play this whole season, especially with the personnel on the pitch, because you can see also with their subs, the way they're making their subs, there's good intentions that. Listen, this is how we want to go, but we want to introduce other guys slowly but surely. But I'm just saying, Sundowns are a team to beat again this season.
Yeah, and you actually look at that bench and you think to yourself, oh my word, how's this team even going to be beaten this season at all? But time will tell, and you've got to look at quite a tough day for Tumulin Kune back as number one. Wasn't convincing, and the signing of now Brandon Peterson for Kaizer Chiefs, although he's not going to be part of it this season at all. Daniel Lakpai starting against Tripper last night. Do you think the writing's on the wall for it too, or do you think it was just a bad day at the office? Or how do you see this panning out?
Firstly, I would say I'm glad that Gavin Hunt is our Kaizer Chiefs coach.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen coaches at Kaizer Chiefs being scared to make such decisions.
Yes.
To bench players that are underperforming, to leave them out of the squad, irrespective of who they are.
Yeah.
And Gavin Hunt, by doing that with Edu, I think he's just sending a message to the whole team.
Yeah.
Because you look at the guys that he dropped for yesterday's game. He dropped Parker, he dropped Katsande, he dropped
Sassman,
Pahlele, and he made five subs. He changed five.
Yeah.
So, and you look at how they played yesterday. They were very solid. And they played with intent. You could tell that, you know, Kama was free. Kama wanted to score. Castro was running socks off. Lebo Manyama was given the responsibility to carry the team. He did exactly that. It was just refreshing to see how Kaizer Chiefs played yesterday. Even though there's a long way to go, there's a lot of things to be improved. But at some point, you need to start somewhere. And I think this yesterday was very, very, very nice to see.
I agree. Well, let's talk about it a bit last night. Very good result for Chiefs. Lots of youngsters being used, and we can talk about this. And I want to ask you the question. Do you think this ban now could be an advantage to Chiefs in a way long term, where they are now being forced to use their youngsters, which we have seen in last night's game, for example, and they excelled last night, especially Njabulo Bloom, who was, I think, was phenomenal. So in this forced opportunity to rebuild one squad, I think it's a great opportunity, number one, for Gavin to cement himself long term as a Kaizer Chiefs coach, because they have no choice now to use the youngsters. So do you think, if you understand my question, do you think this is a blessing in disguise? Because I know a lot of teams don't get this opportunity because there's too much pressure for results.
Yeah.
Now with Chiefs in this opportunity where they have to use their youngsters and in turn rebuild an aged squad. Because we've spoken about this squad over the past season where it is an old squad. And they needed fresh faces. And this is such a great opportunity for the rebuild to happen. So although maybe the Amakhosi faithful can't see it at the moment, they might still be a bit still frustrated about last season's results.
Yeah.
But going forward, the next season, two seasons, three seasons, if they're given that time, I think Kaizer Chiefs can build a squad that'll be unbeatable for the next five, six seasons.
Yeah, I think it's a blessing that came by default.
Yes.
And now, like you said, they don't have a choice but to try and use what they have. And also it gives those youngsters an opportunity to be seen, opportunity to stem their authority, opportunities to play for the big team like Kaizer Chiefs. Because if things were not the way they are, we all know that we wouldn't be able to see Blom, we wouldn't be able to see Ngobo play.
Yeah.
It would be a different personnel on the pitch.
Right.
It's been coming. Yes, it didn't come at the right time. It didn't come nicely, but it's been coming. It was supposed to be done by probably two or three previous coaches.
Yeah.
And Gavin Hunt, he's the kind of coach, if you look at his resume, he's been the coach that works from the ground up with all the teams that he won. So this is not new to him, but the pressure is different because this is the team that lost the championship last season with, you know how they lost, and it's a team that hasn't been winning championship for such a long time.
Yeah.
And now they didn't want to, or they had no time to rebuild the team because the demands were so high for them to win something from the fans.
Right.
So now the situation actually forces the fans and the team to accept what's happening, accept the reality. And I think once the fans accept the reality, I think it's going to be easy for them to be leaning to the players, so to be leaning to the coach, and understand that, okay, this is what we have. This is the situation that we have. Now we need to put more effort on in terms of supporting the team. And also with Gavin Hunt as well, it challenges him. Now he has to bring out the best, even on the younger ones. Now he has to work harder.
Yeah.
Where if he didn't have an extra training, he needs to start doing those with the younger ones. And I think for me, if Gavin Hunt succeed, which he will this season, I think it will change the mindset of Kaizer Chiefs as a franchise. The whole Kaizer Chiefs franchise, I think the mindset will change. Kaizer Chiefs will go back to what Kaizer Chiefs used to be. Kaizer Chiefs used to be the type of a team that will always find their players from a development structure, bring them up and become one of the most recognized players within the league. The list goes on. Your Doctor, your Jabu Pule, the list goes on.
Yeah.
But at some point, because of the demands and just following the trend of other teams as well, they started losing their way.
If I may jump in there, Sean.
Yes, sir.
So, Teko, you know, you've said lots on the show that you really have respect for Gavin Hunt and you think it's the right decision. And now I've just said, you know, this is an opportunity for Kaizer Chiefs to change the mindset of the franchise. But do you think the fans are going to be patient? Do you think they're going to be willing to wait out the time that it needs to turn the team around?
Well, they've got no choice at the moment, Simon. You know what I mean? The ban's been upheld. And I think if we go back to last night's game, you're going to look at the Amakhosi faithful and they're going to be very happy with what they saw last night. I'm not going to say it's going to happen every week because we know youngsters, they're sometimes a bit hot and cold, but you've seen the rise of someone like Njabulo Blum, for example, who was used sparingly last season with Ernst and who did very well at sometimes the right back position. But as the Amakhosi faithful, you've got no choice to be patient at the moment. But Teko, do you think now with this ban being upheld, the pressure is slightly off Gavin in a way, or do you think it's head down? The pressure's a bit more now that he needs to get these youngsters through the ranks.
You know, Sean, honestly, in my heart, I actually believe that Gavin Hunt signed that contract knowing what's going to happen. Because I think maybe that's the first thing that you ask as a coach. What's the situation with the case? Would I be able to get the players that I want to actually do what the contract says? The contract has mandates. And I strongly believe that he knew exactly what he was getting himself into. But yet again, if you look at it, this was the right time for Governor to go to big team. There was no other way. He couldn't go anywhere else. You know, and for me is he needs time, and at the same time he doesn't. It's I think as a team, Kaizer Chiefs, the management, everybody that's within there understand what the situation is and understand what needs to be done. I think it's high time for the fans, Kaizer Chiefs fans, to be supportive towards their team, understanding what's happening right now. If you're not a real Kaizer Chiefs fan, and then you're not going to support your team, then you don't understand what's going on. Then you're being emotional. You don't understand your team. But yet again, I think this is the team that can still compete. This is the team that can that can be very, very interesting and entertaining the whole season with what they have. Because now what it does is it actually starts pushing the guys to be the best possible version of themselves.
Sure.
Because now there's no other choice. They know that they have to play. We don't have time. And also, it might be a wake-up call to other guys. like Yonjangase. It might be a wake up call that I need to work harder, because once Kaizer Chiefs is allowed to sign, Kaizer Chiefs is not gonna sign 10, 15 players.
Sure.
They're gonna sign one or two, because by then they'll already have a team.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. And you're also going to look at, just to add on there, someone like, for example, Willard Kaitsande. I think he's into his last year at Kaizer Chiefs, and now all of a sudden these youngsters are coming through and they're performing. You know, you got to be thinking what's going through someone like his head as well.
Yeah, but honestly, Sean, you as a footballer, there's certain things that you need to expect and be honest to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
At where Kaitsande is, at some point somebody else was when Kaitsande started playing at Kaizer Chiefs.
Sure.
So I think we as a team, we need to understand that the season is long, everybody's important, everybody can do the business. I think it's important if he's not playing, he's not part of the team, he helps the team by guiding the younger ones on how to do things, like he was guided at the time. But yet again, it's when the season is done, the coach will look back and see who is valuable for me, whether on the pitch or off the pitch.
Mm.
Or some other guys are very good by bringing the dressing room together. They're very important with bringing the morale with the team together. Some other guys, when they're not playing, they're very grumpy.
Sure.
And Gavin will get rid of those very, very quickly.
Yeah. Who do you think, in your opinion, is that guy in the change room at Chiefs that, even though he's not playing, will bring, he's the unity. He's the guy that brings everyone together.
Bennett Parker was definite.
Yeah.
100% definite. I know Bennett Parker is a genuine professional, and whenever he's given an opportunity, Bennett Parker, even if he can play for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
He'll work hard. But I think I had this conversation yesterday with one of my guys. I said, I wish Bennett Parker can adjust to what the game requires right now for him at his age. Let me explain. Like with the experience that he has, I wish he can I understand he works harder. I think he can work smarter by freeing himself, knowing exactly when to move and how to move. And when to receive the ball and be the more creative, the more smarter guy on the pitch. Because the more you grow up, the more you mature on the ball. And I think he's that type of a guy. And I think sometimes as footballers, we don't adjust quickly to what our age is saying or what our body is saying.
Yeah.
And I think I just wish that if he can adjust to that, he can be the best number 10 at Kaizer Chiefs. Merely because he knows how to score goals, he's smart. Mm. If he can work smarter. But yet again, here's the team that hasn't won for so long. There's no time for that. The coach wants everybody to work hard. Mm. But I think once everything is settled, I just hope that he can adjust to that role and be that guy for Kaizer Chiefs.
How old is Bernard now?
Isn't he 32, 31, 32, 33, somewhere there?
Okay, yeah. I thought he was older. So there's still time.
there's still time. But yet again, he's the guy that has played in the PSL for how long? He's played in the Bafana. He's been there. But what I'm saying is that we can't be, as fans, looking at Bennett Parker as that guy that needs to run, press the defenders and score every week. So now what do you do as you readjust your position, you play deeper a little bit and you're more in control of the ball, you use the ball smart because of you know that you don't have the legs to press and mark and do all those things. So you're the guy that actually, when everybody's biting in the midfield, they give the ball to be that creative guy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like it. Interesting. Let's move on to some transfer news. What's been happening? Mlambo to AmaZulu, Teko.
Yes.
Great signing.
I think it's one of the players that we most people are sleeping on.
Mm.
I think most coaches and teams are sleeping on Mlambo.
What do you mean by that?
By maybe the whole of last season, because he didn't get game time. And when he was free, but it's unfair to say that. But I just wish that he could be at Sundowns. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why.
Tell us why, Teko.
At Sundowns, there's so many midfielders. Individually, they contribute to the team differently. But none of the midfielders that are at Sundowns have the qualities of Colum Love.
Wow.
None.
So, so what's gone wrong?
Look, he hasn't been playing for long. He hasn't been playing at Orlando Pirates for long. For a season and a half, he's been struggling to play, to get game time. And we all know, to be your best you need to play regularly, and he struggled with that. Yeah. And sometimes to get a player to come to like a Sundowns or a super sport like that, it becomes very tricky because you don't know whether he'll still be the guy that, you know, showed us magic 2 years or 3 years ago. But for me also, is super sport lost Dean Fairman. They haven't found a proper replacement yet in the midfield.
Well, they signed Lucky Mahomi, didn't they?
Oh, come on.
You've asked me, have they found a replacement? I said they signed Lucky Mahomi. What are you saying? Come on, Sean.
Oh, which means you didn't answer my question.
Yo, shots fired.
Shots fired.
No, guys. I mean, what I'm saying is like, can we compare talent to talent? I'm not comparing the person, Lucky, the person, or Tola, sure, the person. I'm talking about talent. I find it very difficult to understand, if I'm Super Sport United, I'm forever within things, playing cup finals, and, you know, I'm trying to get the league. You know, when I beef up, I need to beef up in positions and the players that I know for a fact that they can do the job. Mm. And it is one or two positions that they're struggling with right now. It's one centre back and a midfield.
A six, yeah.
A proper six. Mm. Now they're sacrificing this talented boy Mugwena now playing as a six. Mm. They need a proper six, but that's the thing. Like then there's nothing wrong with Lucky Mahomi. Let me tell you what's going to happen with Lucky Mahomi. Lucky Mahomi hasn't been playing for 4 years or 3 years, whatever years he's been playing at Sundowns. He's going to get to Super Sport now. He needs to adjust to the game. He's going to play one or two games, get injured, is out again because he hasn't been playing for long. So what do you do? What do you do then? You go back to your normal system. Mm. So I'm just saying that sometimes with how we scout, for me, he'll suit very well Super Sport with Mbulele and Mukwena, or get to Sundowns and fight for his position. But yet again, that's what he was doing at Flutter Pride. So maybe he wants a fresher start somewhere. He will be guaranteed the game time. But I'm just saying, look, watch this boy this season. Watch him when he plays. Just watch how he plays. That's what I'm saying.
Interesting. And just let's stick with AmaZulu. Shaba to AmaZulu.
Yes.
I know we spoke about it last week, and Ayando Nkosi said this week in the Laduma, I know he's obviously hasn't found a club for very long, and he said it's all about who you know in the game, how to get a contract in the club. He also says he doesn't understand Shaba's move to AmaZulu. I presume he's just very frustrated that he hasn't got a contract. Mm. What's your feeling on it's all about who you know in the game to get a contract? I'm sure there is some truth in that, but I'm sure talent does play a part.
There's some truth in that. I used to feel like that when I was young, that it's all about who you know, because I had to move from Joburg to be recognized somewhere.
Yeah.
But also, I also realized also when I was getting older that it also helps in what you do and what you did for the game.
Right.
And that resume actually speaks for itself. It makes people want to have a conversation with you. It makes people want to have you on your team. Mm. If he's struggling with the team, it's not a bad thing. He's not the only player that's struggling with getting a team.
Jeez, there's a lot of players there.
A lot of players, and he hasn't been playing regularly. There's still Buhle Mkhwanazi who has been regularly for 4 years at Bidvest. He still hasn't found a team.
Yeah.
Hlanti, who's a national team player, he still hasn't found a team.
Yeah.
So guys, yeah. can we focus on other people? Like, I understand the frustration of the boy, but look at what's on your plate. Leave Shaba alone. Shaba has done what you probably you'll never do in a football game.
Damn.
So I don't like youngsters when they're disrespecting the guys that have paved the way for them to be where they are.
Yeah.
Without doing anything, like I don't care who you are. If guys came before you and they are true professionals and they respect the game and the game respected them back, if you had nothing nice to say about them, whatever your frustrations may be, keep quiet.
Sure. Don't voice it to you.
Don't. No. Come on.
Public.
No. Like, if you don't understand Shaba's movement, so now Shaba must make moves that you understand, so that what should happen.
Yeah. Exactly. I think it's good. I think the intent from AmaZulu this season actually shows, it shows their intent in terms of what they've done in this transfer market, doesn't it? I'm quite... we always complain about AmaZulu every year, 16th, 15th, 14th position, and he's come out, he's spending a bit of money, and I think he's made some good signings.
He's smart.
Yeah.
I think he's smart. And look at the angle, Shaba's angle. It's to try and rebrand AmaZulu as well.
Sure.
And also make AmaZulu that interesting team, that top player somewhere, they also want to come and join AmaZulu as well.
It's a big club, Teko.
It's a big club. But yet again, it was in a team that was playing well. So none of the good players wanted to go there. So now if you change the face of AmaZulu, they started playing well, you can attract good players. I think that's what they're going at. And look at the signings that they've done. But I'm still saying they really, really, really need to get a technical advisor soon, because stuff like this with high quality players like this and a very inexperienced coach, I know they're going to use that when things are not going well. So you need somebody that can balance it off.
I agree. You know? I agree. Yeah, that's a good point. That was actually my next question, but you just answered. I said, with Lamini being an inexperienced coach with now a very experienced change room, it looks like, how is that balance going to happen? How's that going to work? But, you answered that beautifully. Right. Let's move on to the international news desk.
What's up, Teko? How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Dirty Kurt. How are you, my friend?
Good, buddy. Good.
Yeah, so Barca president stepping down, Zlatan still ripping it up at 39. Talk us through it, buddy. What's happening?
Well, yeah, so last night, Josep Maria Bartomeu resigned from his position as president. embarrassingly, a day after saying that he hasn't for a second considered resigning. So that's pretty embarrassing. That's not a good look. But yeah, so there was a vote of no confidence against him and his board. He tried to delay that procedure due to the pandemic, but Spanish health authorities gave the referendum the green light. On Monday, he gives a long, long interview in which he talks about Messi and how he fought to keep Messi at the club. He spoke about the club's finances. And then, like I just mentioned, said that he hasn't considered stepping down. But then last night, or Tuesday, he walked away. And that's because the referendum was given the green light, and him stepping down is essentially saying, look, I know how the vote's going to go. I'm just going to, you know, cut straight to it.
Am I right in saying that the whole board of directors as well stepped down?
Yes, his entire, and with immediate effect too. And, you know, this was all in a 35-minute speech in which he had no journalists around to ask him questions. Very convenient, of course. And then he goes and drops a huge, huge bombshell, which ties in with what we were talking about last week, saying that he accepted an offer to take part in the European Super League. So essentially he says, okay, I'll leave my office, but under my desk in that bin, I've set a fire, and now it's for you guys to put out. It's been met with major backlash. The La Liga president, Javier Tebas, has already come out to call him, you know, delusional and saying that he knows nothing about football. So it's a bad look for the club. And look, we obviously don't know how that will play out still. But yeah, I mean, huge news. Very, very big news.
It's a bad look for the look for the club, but new beginnings, right?
No, of course, yeah.
Sorry, Teko. For me, he'll go down in history as one of the worst presidents.
Oh, the worst. Worse than the president who was actually locked up and thrown in jail, by the way.
That's straight.
Oh, my word. And then let's move on to Zlatan scoring a brace last night at 39 years old. I think that's his third brace this season already. How is that possible?
I know.
Teko, how is that at 39 to still keep up at that level?
But Sean, I wanted to ask, it's a question for both of you. Both of you obviously played at the highest level in South Africa and will therefore have a better understanding of what it takes to maintain that fitness, that mental strength, your general health. So being 39 and being the leading scorer in a league that is considered one of the best in the world, I mean, that is just incredible, isn't it? Like, what, you know, How does he do that?
It's freakish. I mean, we can say it's incredible, but it is. It's freaky, man. I mean, who can we compare him to here? Mpusuma, maybe? But I mean, it's just like a 39 playing in one of the best leagues in the world, like you said, Kurtz, and scoring for fun and still being an arrogant that he is on social media.
I mean,
it's amazing. It's such a pleasure to watch. And it's, Teko, you'll know as an outfielder as well, but it's just, I mean, you see sort of players in South Africa fall away, 33, 34, and this is the PSL for crying out loud. But you look at Zlatan now playing in Serie A, MLS, I mean, wherever, and he's just ripping it up. I mean, it's amazing. What do you think, Tex?
For me, I'd say the type of Zlatan's personnel don't exist in the PSL. Once you show a little bit of that, they don't play you anymore. You become you being transferred, or you don't play, your contract gets terminated. It becomes too many things. Yeah. Listen, I'll say this: Zlatan is he knows who he is, and he knows what he can do. He's very arrogant with his job, but he does the business. In South Africa, you get to 29. That's your last contract.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, irrespective of how well you play. So now I think in South Africa because we compare to one of the top leagues as well. I think in South Africa we don't care about stats.
Sure.
We don't care, because if we did care about stats, some of the guys would still be playing right now.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, and I think most of the coaches, 80 to 90% of the coaches in South Africa can't handle players with personalities.
Yeah.
Yes.
So once you start smelling nice, you're becoming a problem. In the dressing room, you start drinking coffee, you're becoming a problem.
That's why you never brush your teeth, Deco. You smell too nice.
I've had my fair share, Chief. So I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it happening with me and around me. Yeah. That people will be forced to retire, not because of their qualities, but because their knowledge is too much, and the coaches feel intimidated because they can't tell them anything.
That's a great point.
But if you also check, most coaches, like I think Kurt said it very well, one of the previous podcasts, he said most coaches that never play the game, they're so insecure, or that play the game that were never successful as a player, they're very insecure. Yeah. So I think most of the time in South Africa that's the case, because we get these overseas coaches from Austria somewhere with a cooking certificate, he comes here, he starts coaching, and then he realizes that you're a big player, and then he becomes insecure because where he comes from, he never had an opportunity to coach in such a team. So it's one of those things. So I think the Zlatans, the Balotellis, the Diego Costa, they'll never play in South Africa.
Yeah,
no, of course. Yeah.
And I just wanted to add, what I like about this Zlatan Ibrahimovic situation at Milan, you know, 2 years ago when Ronaldo joined Juventus, he spoke about how it was a huge challenge for him to take his career to Italy. And Zlatan pretty much came out and said, well, is it really a challenge to join a team that wins the league every season? And he was, you know, he challenged Ronaldo's comments. And he returns to Serie A himself at 38 years old and does the business. I mean, it's just incredible. He's basically, you know, he's making light work of it. So it's interesting to look at it from that angle too. He's basically saying, well, I can do it too, pal, and I was a lot older than you. You know?
It's crazy. What did he say? Milan never had a king. Now they've got a god.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Kurt, yes. We thank you very much, my friend.
Cheers, gentlemen. Thanks.
Thanks, Kurt.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much. Teko, just quickly, let's just go over the fixtures for the MTN semi-final first leg. Obviously, the big one, Chiefs against Pirates, Celtics versus Supersport. I'm pretty bummed that obviously the derby is going to be played behind closed doors, but it is what it is. Interesting game. I thought Pirates against AmaZulu were not that too, they weren't bad.
Yeah.
The results could have gone either way though. So I think Pirates walking away from it would have been okay. But they had their chances, and Chiefs obviously coming off a decent win against Chipper. How do you see this one going?
Look, I don't think Pirates have played bad this season. But they haven't been great.
Yeah.
Chiefs, up and downs, but because we know what's the issue there, and then it becomes easy for us to speak about it.
Sure.
But with how Kaizer Chiefs played yesterday, if they can apply even 50% of what they were doing yesterday on Saturday's game,
yeah,
they stand a great chance.
Yeah.
Merely because the mentality was different. You know, the energy level was different. You could see there was a belief that we wanted to win. You know, they hit the crossbar, I don't know how many times, because they were there. They had 20 shots on goal, 10 on target.
Yeah.
They had good intentions. If they can take that confidence, you know, that spirit that they had yesterday and take it to Saturday's game, I don't see them losing a game. But this might be a game where your normal derby results come through, where it becomes a draw.
Sure, especially with the second leg looming.
Yeah, you know, with the second leg looming, so it might be a draw. Plus, there's no pressure, there's no fans, so it might be a draw. Yeah, might be a very, very interesting draw.
I do agree. I like the fact what you said about there was a different energy on the park last night with Chiefs. A lot of young blood being introduced, like we spoke about earlier. I think if they carry that into the Pirates game, and Pirates still needing to find their form, even though they're playing well, I do agree. It makes up for a very good game. Obviously it's behind closed doors, which sucks, but it is what it is. Celtics were super sport. I think Bradley Krobler on form, on fire. And Supersport playing good football. So I'm don't write Celtics off just yet, but I'm going for a convincing Supersport victory first leg. I don't know about yourself.
Convincing?
I'm going for a convincing one.
Oh, never. Dude, Celtics are
never.
Very tricky.
Never.
Celtics is a very, very tricky team. And I just hope Celtics present themselves very well on the day. I'll say this. Supersport plays with 30 midfielders. Celtics can do the same with the false nine. So, but the problem is Supersport has Krobler.
Yeah.
I think that's where the difference is. Supersport has Krobler. Celtics, we still need to find who that person is.
Yeah.
Yes, they've got quality players. They've got Mabenas and all the type of things, but Supersport has Krobler. So I think if there's going to be a match winner there, if Supersport takes it, Krobler has to be part of the goal or him scoring himself. Because I don't see Celtics, they're really, really defending very well.
No, I agree. And interesting reports this week, Krobler being linked to Chiefs. But I think that report was before that the ban was upheld. So I can't see that happening, to be honest. Mm. And it was sort of backup for Nurkovic. But anyway, yeah, there's been links to him going there for years.
So can I ask you a question? Now the Chiefs, they are where they are. Can they sign people on what is this thing?
Yeah, you can sign players, but you can't register them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Pre-contract or whatever it is.
Correct. So they could, I think Clancy has signed for Chiefs. I don't know if it's true, but he would be on a pre-contract and he would be training with them, but he cannot be registered.
Yeah, but for now, like, he can have a pre-contract and he can go and play for Celtics, for instance.
So that's where it gets tricky. So.
Oh, he needs to play for Celtics and then sign a pre-contract with Chiefs.
Yes. I wouldn't think Chiefs would allow that because of the risk of injury.
But you know, when 1 year, it's a long time. Man. It's 10 years in football.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen. But it's a good question.
I think the Kansas Chiefs needs to still assemble their squad. Put them in teams that you know that it's easy for you to access them and be able to monitor them. And come end of the season, they come back. You can take them to Swallows. You can take them to TTM. You can take them to all these teams where the pressure is not that much, but for them to actually keep going with the game time. So that you can bring
game time. So you mean signing them potentially and putting them out on loan?
Yeah. Or you have a guys. We you know, team owners. They have conversations. They've got group chats also on WhatsApp. So I'm sure Kaizer Chiefs can send maybe Shanti to TTM and say maybe to TTM, hey Chief, listen, signing for a season and then he's my player. Come end of the season, he comes to me. Then once you sign that side pre-contract Kaizer Chiefs, then you come 3 years down the line. So I think those are conversations that can be had.
Yeah, I agree. And good conversations, and it'll be very good for the league, I think.
Yeah, and then all these teams can be strengthened and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because guys, for me, I feel like I understand the ban is there, but I just wish it doesn't affect other players' dreams. Sometimes it's other players have got this big dream of playing for Kansas Chiefs or all these big teams. You know, this was an opportunity for them, but it can still happen. I just hope that the business will be done properly.
Yeah, but you know, football can be cruel, Teko. Unfortunately,
absolutely. It doesn't always go. Absolutely, yeah. Being cruel, my friend. Yeah.
It's not lekker. But let's move on swiftly to the car of the week.
Boom.
Draw. Well done, son. So this we speak about the new Stellenberg coach, Nassif Morris, who has got a Maserati Quattroporte GTS. The Maserati Quattroporte GTS takes the venerable Italian brand's four-door saloon to the level that has been expected of it all along. It is a stylish alternative to the BMW 7 Series. If you want a four-door, four-seat saloon with a Ferrari-derived engine in its nose, then you need to look no further than the Maserati's Quattroporte. The Italian company has just updated its flagship saloon to make it even more appealing. The biggest problem facing Maserati, however, is the quality of the opposition. The new S-Class, the BMW M6 Grand Coupe, and the Benz CLS 63 are much sharper tools and a lot cheaper. For a staggering $300,000, I could think of better things to spend my money on. Having said that, I do give it a 7 out of 10.
What would you spend your money on, Sean Roberts?
I would spend my money on
the wine.
Some wine, my beautiful wife, my child, you know, bro.
That's a lot of wine, huh?
That's a lot of wine, bro. But we finish off with a motivational quote of the week, this week by the new Orlando Pirates sensation, Wade Yuster. Don't be pushed by your problems, be led by your dreams.
Yeah, that's
dope. I like it.
Very good.
Thank you, gentlemen. Teko, you're a legend.
Thank you, bro. Sai, thank you for your contribution.
Well, let me contribute a little more. Whether you've been listening to us on Soccer Laduma, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, thank you very much for listening. Until this time next week.
In Kosi.
Goodbye. Yeah.
Bye.
Ciao.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. This is a Slangana car.